I mentioned earlier that Mike was in the Coast Guard. You were in the Coast Guard too, Stan.
Yes, sir, I was.
Huh? I love your story about having to go out offshore and do some kind of drill where the boat rolled.
We had a self-riding lifeboat.
Okay.
That was relatively new to the Coast Guard. And off Coos Bay, Oregon, in the wintertime, the waves are, you know, 35, 40 foot tall at the... And we had an admiral come out from the East Coast, and he wanted a demonstration. So we took this lifeboat out, and we suggested that he put a survival suit on and a life jacket. And he said, I know what I'm doing. Just let's just see what this boat will do. So we said, yes, sir. So we took the boat out, and the skipper of the lifeboat had everybody else strap in, and the admiral was just holding on. And the admiral says, let's roll this thing. Skipper said, okay. So
yes, Admiral.
Yes, sir. I mean, we're not going to say no, right? So he turned it sideways to the breakers, and over we went about three times, come up like a cork, you know. And everybody's looking around and said, anybody seen the Admiral? We saw this, hey, you know, he's waving in the water, of course, bobbing, you know, and we thought, oh, man. It took us about 45 minutes to get him back on board, and he was pretty embarrassed, but the performance of the self-righting lifeboat was pretty well approved at that point, but he didn't say too much going back in.
That was in the winter?
Humble pie.
That was in the winter, yeah.
In Oregon. I've been to Monterey, and that was cold enough in the summer, I'm still a couple hundred miles south.
The water was pretty frigid. He was not in real good shape when we pulled him back on board, but it was a funny story.
Do we know if he ever went again?
I think he probably shied away from that activity. So,
well, we're here talking home improvement, and we appreciate all the fallen heroes out there. Happy Memorial Day weekend. Be safe. Be smart. Don't start another fire. We don't need another piece of Arizona real estate burnout.
That's for darn sure.
Or we don't have the resources right now, man. Everyone's pretty busy at Slide Rock.
I heard there's over 500 firefighters on that one fire.
Yesterday they were saying they were expecting it to triple in size. That's just a shame.
If you know a firefighter family or a veteran's family, just thank the whole family. The whole family sacrifices.
Absolutely.
They really do. Just, you know, families go without their daddy for important events,
and you know, they're all in harm's way, and that's a tough
way
job.
To live.
Tough job. Yeah. We owe them a great deal of thanks.
Amen. The topic of this hour kind of piggyback off of our Made in America product. And when we were looking at how we were going to broadcast this show and what topics we were going to bring up, we said, well, if we're going to do a review of the hardware show on Made in American products, one of the big things on, you know, American made is being a little self-sustaining. America was birthed off the backs of pioneers and pilgrims and Indians that, you know, lived off the land and off of what they had and off their own homestead. So we said, well, it's time for another urban farming segment. So when we come to that, we mentioned bees earlier as a pollinator, but that's not the only pollinator that we can attract to our gardens. And Jay made the point in the Garden Hour. I believe it was off air, just that so many gardens you see in between you and your neighbor's house because your backyard's for playing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then you put it now out of the wind, so you don't have your bees, you don't have a wind pollinator, and people go there, why isn't anything?
How come
it's growing, but I don't have any fruit?
Exactly.
Our first, you know, knee-jerk reaction is to get rid of any critters. Another really great pollinator is bats. Does that sound creepy? I don't know. You can see them at night if you're outside. They're there just because you don't see them.
Or a lot of times you just hear them go fluttering by. Yeah.
If I remember right, and I'm not saying I do, but I think I'm going to do a total Charles Cyber move here. I think I read one time. Sorry, Zade. I love you, Grandpa.
That's my dad.
That, and he reads all the time. And you know, that's how you search. I think I read somewhere one time. I never finished the book, but I remember reading. Arizona has more species of bats than anywhere else in the world.
Well, there are 1,200 species of bats. I don't know about the total number, but I do have one piece of good news. None of the ones that live here are vampire bats.
Well, that's a good thing.
They all live in South America, yeah. And 2/3 of species of bats hunt insects, and they can eat up to 1,000 per hour.
That's unbelievable. And they catch them in flight. I mean, like they're, you know.
So, but we don't get honey from them.
No.
How are they pollinating?
But 1/3 of them drink nectar from the plants. You know, those long, and they dip into your flowers and drink.
It.
So they're pollinators in that way. And there's a company online, Bat Conservation and Management. And you can go in there and order. This is actually in our article in the Arizona Republic this weekend about bat houses. They're open from the bottom, so it looks like a mailbox, and the bats fly up into them. Of course, you don't want to put that on your house or even in your yard. You know, we have a wash. I could even put them like on the wash side. You don't want them close, and you never ever. I don't have to say this. Touch an injured animal. Bats can carry rabies, so you don't want to be touching anything. But to have them in your area, they pollinate, they eat the bugs. It's a great, great thing to have close to your house. And the other thing, of course, so many people love hummingbirds, and they're great pollinators. We have 13 species in the Southwest, and they do, of course, migrate. But the common thought is don't take your feeders down even in the winter, because there are some that will stay behind. Maybe they're weak at the moment or elderly or whatever, but it might get them through another winter. So there's no reason to have to take them down.
You know, I read somewhere that a hummingbird has to consume the human equivalent of 600,000 calories per day to survive.
I believe it.
So those little dudes, you know, they're as fast as their metabolism is in their wings, you know, anything we can do to feed them would be, you know, highly advantageous.
You know, they migrate 1,000 miles. That's a little bit behind. I guess there was a rumor started somewhere that they ride on the backs of geese, because every website I went to said, no, they do not ride on the backs of geese. Well, so if you believe that, it's wrong.
And I'll tell you why that's wrong. Majority of geese, when you watch, now you do hear them at night. Majority of geese migration is daylight. Bats are nocturnal. They wouldn't be.
We're on to hummingbirds.
Oh, sorry. Hummingbirds. I'm with you.
Yeah, keep up, buddy. Keep up.
I wouldn't think hummingbirds could sustain the altitude that geese fly up to.
Yeah, they get up in the air.
So anyway, if you're going to have a hummingbird feeder, that is a lot of work, because they go, like you said, they eat a lot. And if they find your feeder, they're going to drain it off, and you need to wash it every couple times.
And make sure that bees and ants don't get into it.
That's
to contaminate.
A trick. So you need to get a good, it's worth the money. Even a good one's not more than $20 to get one. First of all, you don't want yellow on it, because the yellow attracts the bees. And you want to have it solid, red. And it's best just to use the sugar and water ratio, one part sugar to five parts water.
So if it was yellow and attracted the bees, does that mean the hummingbirds don't come? Is that why?
No, it just means you got bees all over your feeder, and you don't want that.
And you usually have the hummingbird pretty close to your patio.
Yeah, so you don't want to attract the bees for that. Yeah. And it gets sticky and messy. I've bought cheap ones before, and then they drip all over they ruin your,
And they attract ants. And,
A really great resource we have right here in town is Wild Birds Unlimited in Mesa. They have all kinds of great, for one thing, their website is fantastic. It'll tell you all you need to know about birding and hummingbirding and what's in the area and what to feed them and everything. And they also have a link to where to call in case you find injured wildlife in your yard. So that's Wild Birds Unlimited in Mesa.
Is that a retail storefront?
Okay, cool. It is. And the last thing, go ahead, you had some. Bees. Of course, bees are the obvious one. There are 25,000 species of bees worldwide.
Good grief.
So we get all panicky about this Africanized bee thing. Well, that's only for the honeybees that you have to worry. And I've heard conflicting information, but one bee is not going to hurt you. It's when you disturb a hive or whatever. So you want to make sure you stay away from any kind of hive. And if you have one land in your yard, have a beekeeper come move it. But 80% of our flowering plants rely on bees for pollination. So we don't want to just wipe them out every time we see them. And 30% of our agricultural crops rely on bees. So they're really, really important. But we have bees here, a lot of them. We have the leafcutter bees.
Mm-hmm.
And John Jay was saying they were brought here to help pollinate what? I think citrus, right?
Citrus, yeah.
And now anybody who has roses spends money trying to get rid of them. But they're a bee. And we have lots of boring bees, like the carpenter bees. They'll find any holes left over. I have them that try to get in my vigas.
Thrive in dead wood, and a lot of times, yeah.
Uh-huh. And also, a lot of them just go underground and have their hives and stuff underground. But those, of course, aren't honeybees, but they're all pollinators. So we don't need to be trying to cream everything that flies, you know. So
as it relates to honeybees, there are companies you can get hives from. They will ship them on truckloads. If you've been watching the news, there was a truck in the Northwest that flipped and like some 20 million bees got scattered. Well, yeah, that sounds like a lot. The 20 million bees, I don't know the hive count. That's not that many.
Probably not that many hives.
It's amazing just how many live in a hive, and it's amazing how much how many bees it takes to create if I remember
right,
a pound
of honey, yeah.
One bee in its entire life will create the equivalent of a tablespoon of honey. So when you get a jar of tablespoon, that represents the work of
a lot of bees.
Thousands. Yeah. And each bee will fly 55,000 miles in its short lifetime. So, when you say worker bees, they are working.
Nonstop.
And if you're into organics or natural cures, I can't tell you how many things have honey in it. It's just an incredible natural
food source, yeah.
And a lot of people swear that if you're struggling with allergies, find the honey that's pollinated closest to you, because that, you know, they're obviously pollinating those weeds and those plants and flowers that are giving you those allergies. It'll build up your immune system if you eat that local honey, because you're getting it into your system before you start sneezing. So there's a couple, there are a couple local honey bee or honey product.
A lot.
Mesquite, I believe, is one that's down on Washington. They have plants all over, or not plants, hives all over the state of Arizona.
Our Magic Garden Nursery has the raw honey down there in Tucson as well.
Absolutely. When we get back, our final little segment, if you're here 100 years, a couple hundred years ago with the Indians, what would you eat to live on before the import of citrus, before the import of basically the majority of the food you eat today?
Everything we recognize today.
Let's talk about edible plants.